and turn with me to Genesis 37. Genesis 37, we're picking back up our series, Hope Renewed, and today's message is titled, Living the Dream. You know, TV is filled with all sorts of competition shows, talent competition shows, and when the contestants are first trying out, they are wide-eyed and eager. You can see the excitement. They are filled with dreams of becoming a superstar. And hundreds try out each season, and only a few end up making the show. And as the season progresses, they are eliminated one by one. And generally, when a contestant gets eliminated, some cry, some get upset, some resolve that failure won't stop them, they're going to continue to pursue their dreams, but others allow rejection to kill their dream. And for that one person that is selected as the winner for that season, their dreams begin to come true. And I think a part of the popularity of these television shows is that we all have dreams. Not necessarily of being a superstar, but dreams for our life. And somehow we identify with the struggle of these contestants to see their dream become a reality. And we celebrate with the winner, perhaps because in our heart we feel as though, you know what, they're just an ordinary person like us. And if their dream can come true, then maybe our dream can come true as well. But just like many of those contestants that get eliminated along the way, there are many things that happen to us in life that can kill our dreams. There are many dream killers that we encounter, circumstances that we go through that can make our dreams seem further than ever, even like an impossibility. These circumstances might at times even make us give up on our dream. But there is someone in Scripture who had a dream from God. And though he encountered many dream killers, he never gave up. He faithfully served God, and in due time, God brought to reality the dream that he had given him. And this man's name is Joseph. And there's something very important about the life of Joseph that God wants us to know. Because the first 12 chapters of Genesis covers almost 2,000 years of history in just those 12 chapters. And then the next 13 chapters focus on the story of the life of one man named Joseph. Now, for time's sake, we're only going to read chapter 37, verses 18 through 28, which kind of sets the story for Joseph's journey, and we'll fill in the details as we go along. Genesis 37, verses 18 through 28, Joseph's brothers saw him coming from far away. They decided to make a plan to kill him. They said to each other, "Here comes Joseph, the dreamer. We should kill him now while we can. We could throw his body into one of the empty wells and tell our father that an animal killed him. Then we will show him that his dreams are useless." But Reuben wanted to save Joseph. He said, "Let's not kill him. We can put him into a well without hurting him." Reuben planned to save Joseph and send him back to his father. When Joseph came to his brothers, they attacked him, tore off his long, beautiful coat. Then they threw him into an empty well that was dry. While Joseph was in the well, the brothers sat down to eat. They looked up and saw a group of traders traveling from Gilead to Egypt. The camels were carrying many different spices and riches. So Judah said to his brothers, "What profit will we get if we kill our brother and hide his death? We will profit more if we sell him to these traders. Then we will not be guilty of killing our own brother." The other brothers agreed, and when the Midianite traders came by, the brothers took Joseph out of the well and sold him to the traders for 20 pieces of silver. The traders took him to Egypt. As we read this passage of Scripture, you note that Joseph's brother called him the dreamer because God had given Joseph two dreams, that God would one day raise him up to a position of high leadership, and even his brothers and his parents would bow down to him. And God often uses dreams to awaken our spirit to the plan and the purpose that he has for our life. And God's dreams for our lives are generally bigger than anything that we could possibly imagine or dream for ourselves. But between the dream and the fulfillment, life happens. And we experience many things that challenge our dream and even threaten to kill our dream. And that's exactly what happened to Joseph. He was about 17 when God gave him these dreams, but he would be in his 30s before the dreams would begin to become a reality. And looking back in hindsight, we, as we read the story, we see the hand of God, and we rejoice in the way that God was at work to fulfill the dream that he had given Joseph. But for Joseph, He began his journey with the favor of God on his life and an incredible dream of the future that God had planned for him. But all of that is shattered by the reality of the pit, the well that his brothers throw him into. Many of us might find ourselves in a similar position. When we began our journey with the Lord, we could see his hand of blessing upon our life, and we had such excitement and such hope for the future that God had for us. But like Joseph, we soon found ourselves in the pit of real life, where circumstances arose that just seemed to shatter our hopes for the future. And just when we thought it couldn't get any worse, it does. You go from the pit to prison. They sold Joseph as a slave. He went down to Egypt. He was sold to a man named Potiphar. His wife tried to seduce him. He refused. She accused him unfairly, unjustly of rape. And the husband believed her and had Joseph thrown into prison. So he went from the pit to the prison. And it seemed that he was moving further and further away from the dream. So how do you live out your dream when you find yourself in the pit of reality? And I believe Joseph's experience holds some inspiring truths that will help us in our journey to living the dream. The first thing we see is that in the pit, we've got to remember that God's got a plan. In the pit, we've got to remember that God's got a plan. While Joseph was in the pit, the scripture doesn't tell us what he was thinking, but we do know that God was working to prepare the next part of his journey, the next step in his plan for him. When you're in the pit, God's got a caravan. When you're in the pit, God's got a caravan. Joseph's brothers were filled with rage. Joseph had excitedly in his youth, youthful ignorance, he shared his dream with his brothers, thinking that they would be excited for him. But the fact that really got them was when he said, "And you all are going to bow down to me." And they were enraged. They were already jealous because Joseph was his father's favorite. And his father had made him this beautiful coat of many colors. And his father kept him home while they had to be out in the field working. And now his father even sends him out there to check up, to supervise them. And he's their little brother. And when they see him coming, they are filled with rage. Who does he think he is with all these dreams that we're going to bow down to him? They wanted him dead. And if not for the intervention of his oldest brother, Reuben, they would have killed Joseph on the spot that day. But Reuben convinced them to put him in a well, in a pit instead. His plan was that he would double back and he would rescue his little brother and take him back to his father. But while Joseph is in the pit, they sit down to eat a meal. And you can see they have no conscience. They have no sense of guilt, no concern about what they've done or what they're planning to do to their brother. And as they're eating, verse 25 says, they raised their eyes and looked in a caravan of Midianite or Ishmaelite, a caravan of Arab traders, was coming from Gilead with their camels on their way to Egypt. And Canaan was a well-known trade route from Arabia into Egypt. It was where all the caravans passed through to do business. And Canaan was where this caravan passed through on their way to Egypt. And that caravan showed up at the exact moment, at the exact moment that Joseph was in the pit. What an incredible coincidence, right? Wrong. It may have seemed coincidental to Joseph's brothers that these guys showed up just at the right time. And they said, "Hey, you know what? Look, these are slave traders. We can sell our brother." And it might have seemed like what a convenient thing that has happened. But these guys, these Ishmaelites, this caravan was a part of God's plan. It was God's instrument. In fact, it's estimated that it would have taken about 3 weeks from the point of their origin in Dothan to travel to where Joseph was in the pit. So God dispatched this caravan 3 weeks earlier to get there at just the right time. And this band of Arab merchants were a group of unsuspecting men and women. They ignorantly became God's instrument in Joseph's plan. But God can use even the ungodly. They don't even know it, but God can use the ungodly to accomplish his purpose. So here comes this band of Arab merchants, a group of unsuspecting men and women who God had divinely directed to arrive at that precise place at that exact moment, and they were God's helpers. Folks, have you ever stopped to pay attention to God's helpers in your life? People who have passed through your life at just the right moment. Heaven-sent ambassadors who come into your life at the exact moment of your need, and many times they pass out just as quickly. A friend who just happened to appear or reappear just when your life hit bottom and brought hope and encouragement to you. An unexpected encounter with someone that opened a door or changed the direction of your life. What a coincidence, right? Not at all. In the pit, remember, God's got a caravan. He's already dispatched His answer well in advance of your need, and it will arrive at just the right time, not too early. If the caravan had gotten there any earlier, Joseph would not even have arrived. If it had gotten there any later, who knows what they would have done to Joseph. But it arrived at just the right time. And God will dispatch the answer for your need to arrive at just the right time. Not too early, not too late, but just on time. Amen? God's already got the answer on its way. When you're in the pit, God's in control. You know, these caravans often consisted of hundreds of camels. And they generally tied bells around the camel's neck and sang to the cadence of the bells as they traveled. So there's no question that even about 20 feet down in the pit, Joseph could hear the approach of this caravan. And then he heard his brother Judah say, "What profit, what benefit is it going to be to us if we kill him? We can sell him." But when he first hears those words, "What profit is it to us if we kill him?" Joseph probably thinks, "Amen, Judah, preach it. That's right. That's good stuff." And hope rises in his heart. But then his heart sinks as he hears Judah's next statement. "Let's sell him. Let's sell him to these Ishmaelites." And his heart sank. And so Joseph was sold as a slave to be carried to Egypt. And can you imagine what Joseph was feeling, what Joseph was thinking? Certainly at that moment in Joseph's eyes, these men must have seemed like agents of Satan sent for his destruction to take him to be a slave in Egypt. To Joseph, it looked like the end. But to God, it was the beginning of the journey towards the fulfillment of his dream. Joseph might have felt that he was bound for oblivion, but in reality, God had arranged an all-expense-paid trip for him to the fulfillment of his destiny for his life. He was in the center of God's will, though at the moment, he could not see it. Folks, even when things seem at their very worst, if we have served and trusted God, we must remember that God is in control. God is in control. We must stay faithful to God. We must do what is right. Remember, Joseph did what was right, even when he had the opportunity to be seduced by Pharaoh's wife. Joseph did what was right. He stood in righteousness, and he obeyed the Lord, and he did what was right. Folks, if you have done what is right, and you have trusted in the Lord, then you can have confidence that God is in control, and that God is going to make a way. Hallelujah. Secondly, in the pit, remember, God gives promotion. The pit is a platform for promotion. It doesn't look like it, but in God's scheme of things, it often is. If Joseph had never been thrown into the pit, he would never have ended up in Egypt, and he would never have ended up as the prime minister of Egypt. He would have been contented to stay in his father's house where he was the favored son, but in the pit, it was the beginning of the unfolding of God's plan for his life. The pit was a platform for God's destiny. When the caravan reached Egypt, Joseph was sold to Potiphar. And Potiphar was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the palace guard, a man of quite some influence and some wealth, and a man connected to the Pharaoh. But despite his difficult circumstance, he's a slave in a foreign land. He is in very difficult circumstances, but Joseph continued to live his life faithfully to God. Joseph continued to do what was right before God. You know, sometimes when we get in a tight squeeze, we are tempted to go with the flesh. We are tempted to go with earthly reasoning. We are tempted to go with easy ways that open up before us. Maybe he thought, you know what, if I give in to the seduction of Potiphar's wife, it'll make things easier for me. But he stood and did what was right before God. And because of that, the favor of God was upon Joseph. God prospered him in everything he did. God prospered him as a slave in Potiphar's house, and everything he touched just prospered. God just blessed it. God even prospered him later in prison and made a way for him in everything he touched. God blessed it. Folks, if you remain faithful to God, God's blessings will be upon you no matter what your circumstances may be. But when God is blessing, remember that the enemy will not be far. But God will use even our enemies to fulfill his plan. Joseph was an attractive young man. In verse 6, it tells us, and Potiphar's wife set her eyes on him. And when her husband was out of the house, she tried her darndest to seduce Joseph. But he refused every advance of this conniving woman. And finally, one day, she tried to force herself on him. And he put on his Holy Ghost Nikes and he ran out of there as quickly as he possibly could. But as the old saying goes, hell has no fury like a woman scorned. And so because of Joseph's rejection, she accused Joseph of trying to rape her, and Joseph ends up in prison. Now, perhaps when Joseph got promoted to Potiphar's house, he remembered a glimmer of God's dream and thought maybe things are beginning to move towards the fulfillment of that dream. I mean, I'm a slave in an influential man's home. And then when Potiphar saw God's blessing upon his life and how everything he touched prospered, Potiphar made him ruler over everything he had. He put everything under Joseph's control. And maybe Joseph thought, wow, maybe this is what God meant. Maybe this is the beginning of that promotion that God has for me. But then he winds up in prison and things go from bad to worse. And have you ever been there that after a trial, there's a glimmer of hope that things might just work out, and then bam, you get hit with something worse? And the dream must have seemed even more impossible now. But God was at work, even in his prison sentence. You see, the prison positions us for destiny. In Genesis 39:20, Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. And Joseph remained faithful to God in prison. And in verses 22 through 23, it says that God was with Joseph, and God gave him favor with the keeper of the prison, and he promoted Joseph to chief trustee over the entire prison, and God prospered him in all that he did. Folks, no attack of the enemy can prevent God's blessing or stop God's plan for your life. In Isaiah 14:27, it says, the Lord of heaven's army has spoken. Who can change his plans? When his hand is raised, who can stop him? When God gets ready to do something, folks, who can stop him? When God says he's going to do something, who can change his plans? You see, God was at work, using even the injustice that Joseph suffered for his purpose. I want us to see something. Of all the people that could have purchased Joseph as a slave, he was sold to Potiphar. And Potiphar was Pharaoh's servant. So he had connection to the highest man in the land. That was no coincidence. Because when he was thrown into prison, he was not thrown into any ordinary prison. He was thrown into the prison where the king's prisoners were held. And it was there in prison that Joseph would meet two of the king's former servants who had also been in prison. And he would make a connection with one of them by interpreting his dream, a dream that came through by his being restored to service in Pharaoh's court. And later, that servant that was restored according to the dream that Joseph interpreted would become the key to the fulfillment of God's dream for Joseph's life. That servant would become God's instrument to bring him before Pharaoh, even though initially that servant forgot all about Joseph. And time passed, and Joseph remained in prison until one day God gave a dream to Pharaoh. And none of Pharaoh's sorcerers, none of Pharaoh's advisors could interpret the dream. And this servant heard what was going on. And he remembered Joseph. And he said, Pharaoh, when I was in prison, I had a dream and I didn't know what it meant. But I remember that there was a guy in your prison named Joseph that interpreted the dream and it came to pass just like he said. And that servant became the instrument that God would use to bring Joseph's name before Pharaoh. And then God would use this ungodly king, this pagan king, as the instrument to fulfill the dream that God had given Joseph. Folks, no matter what you're going through, I've learned through the years that no experience of our life is for naught. No experience of our life is wasted. No experience of our life is by accident. But that if we will trust God and remain faithful to Him, God will use everything for His purpose. God is working in all things, not just the good things, folk. Romans 8:28 says, God is working in all things. Even the bad things. Even the things that we think, how on earth could this ever be from God? God is working in all things for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. If we will remain faithful to Him, if we will continue to do what is right before Him, there is nothing that can stop His blessing or His plan for our life. And then thirdly, in the pit, rejoice because God's got a palace in your future. Your current circumstances do not determine your destiny. In prison, as I said, Joseph met the king's former butler and baker. Each had a dream, which Joseph rightly interpreted. And as predicted, the baker was put to death, and the butler was restored to the king's servants. 2 years later. 2 years later. You know, Joseph had said to the servant, he said, when you get restored, remember me to Pharaoh. And Joseph probably thought, well, this is it. He's gotten restored. And then 2 years passed. 2 years passed, and Joseph might have felt like, I am forgotten. I'm going to waste away in this prison. But God is perfect in all of His ways. And God's timing is perfect. 2 years later, Pharaoh has a dream. None of his advisors can interpret. And the butler remembers Joseph. Pharaoh calls for Joseph, and God gives Joseph the interpretation of the dream, telling him that a terrible famine that was coming upon the land, and God gave Joseph a wise plan for the nation to be able to survive this famine. As a result, we read in Genesis 41, verses 39 through 41, it says, because there was none in all of Egypt that had the wisdom of Joseph, Pharaoh made him second in command over all of Egypt. Can you imagine from being a convict, from being in prison, to suddenly being the prime minister of one of the greatest empires on the face of the earth at that time? And that's the hand of God. You may be in the pit. You may be in the prison of your circumstances right now, but lift up your head, because God can work so suddenly that it will cause your head to spin. God's got a palace in your future. Hallelujah. God's got a blessing for you. Your current circumstances are stepping stones to God's dream for your life. God gave Joseph the dream for his life when he was 17. And God fulfilled that dream when he was in his 30s, but God kept his word. But in between, there were more than 13 years in which Joseph endured the pit and the prison. But he stayed faithful to God. No matter what pressure was placed upon him, No matter how dire his circumstances were, he would not take the easy way out. He would not take the fleshly way. He remained faithful to God. He did what was right, and God prospered him wherever he was, even in the pit, even in the prison. Folks, in the worst of circumstances, God's blessing can be upon you, and God can make a way for you. Hallelujah. God prospered him in Potiphar's house. God prospered him in prison. God prospered him even in the most difficult of circumstances. And God took him from the pit to make him the prime minister over Egypt. And through his plan for the famine, he not only saved the nation of Egypt, but he saved his family and the future nation of Israel from extinction, so that God's plan of salvation for the world could be fulfilled. When we remain faithful to God through the trial, it lifts up a testimony unto God's name that results in the salvation of others. But if we in the pressure cooker, if we give in to the flesh, and if we do what is wrong in the sight of the Lord, then nobody but Satan gets the glory. We need to be like Joseph, where we remain faithful to God, where we cling to God no matter what. Folks, God has a dream for you. And God wants you to dream His dream. He wants to place His dreams in your heart. If you don't already have a dream for your life, ask God to awaken your spirit to His plans and His purposes for you. God's dreams for your life are bigger and better than anything that you could imagine or dream for yourself. And for some of you who have had a dream, but life happened and circumstances have seemingly killed your dream, I want you to know today, God is not finished with you yet. The end of the story has not been written yet. Like Joseph, don't get your eyes off of God. Continue to serve Him faithfully. Continue to do what is right before the Lord. And believe and trust that God will use the very thing that the enemy means for evil, and God will turn it around for your good, because God's word cannot fail. And what God has spoken, He will fulfill. He will bring to completion the dream that He has for your life. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. Father, we praise You that You're a God that keeps Your word. We thank You that You're a God that is working in all the circumstances of our life, Lord. Even in the hardships, even in the trials, even in the difficulties, Your hand is at work. And if we will trust You and remain faithful to You and do what is right in Your eyes, Lord God, You will bless us and prosper us even in the hard times. And You will use those very things in order to bring us to the fulfillment of Your purpose and Your destiny for our lives. We thank You that we can trust You because You are not man that You should lie. We thank You that we can trust You because You have never failed and You are not about to start now, Lord God. Father, I pray that faith would arise within the hearts of Your people, that the souls of Your people would be encouraged to stand steadfastly today, no matter what they're going through, Lord God. Minister to the hearts of Your people this day. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen, amen. If you have a dream that you feel has died because of circumstances that you're going through, difficulties, trials that you may be facing, I want to encourage you to come to this altar right now, and let's just ask God to just revive our hearts, to just revive faith within our souls today, that we can just trust in Him no matter what we're going through, and that we will have the strength to do what is right, no matter what the pressure of the circumstances might be. Lift up your voice at this altar this morning and let God just minister to you. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank You for each of these that has responded to Your word this morning, Lord God. Father, faith comes by hearing and hearing by Your word. Let faith arise within these hearts today, Lord God, to believe again, Lord, to cling to the dream that You have given to them and to not give up hope, Lord God. Father, I pray that we will trust You even in the pit and the prisons of our life, that we will trust You in those circumstances that hem us in, Lord God, and we don't see any way out of it, Lord God. But Father, let us lift up our eyes and look to You, Lord God, because You are working and You will bring us out, Lord God. Father, minister to each and every one of these hearts today in Jesus' precious and mighty name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.